Romans chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And I want to talk to you about the grace of God and the liberty wherewith you are made free from the law of sin and death. I want to talk to you about your situation before the Lord as a Christian and how the grace of God. See, I believe that if you went in the Bible and you started to compare some things and put the cross right here, and you come back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were under the law. In Matthew 19, a man comes to the Lord and he says, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And the Lord answers him and says, "Why calleth me thou good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou enter in life, do what? Keep the commandments." We know from back here in Moses' day, when the law had entered, that they did it, as it were, for their righteousness. Look, if you will, in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6. Look at their attitude. All I'm telling you that when you get to grace, something unique has happened. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes," as in Exodus, and you might want to put this in your Bible right there, as in Exodus chapter 20, the commandments. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness." The law, our obedience to this law. "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us." So back here in Deuteronomy, they were under the what? Law. And during this period of time, law, law, law. It was a matter of doing the law. It was a matter of obedience. It was their righteousness if they observed to do all these things which the Lord... Fear God and keep the commandments is basically what He's saying. Amen? And so we get to Matthew. You got that in Matthew 19, verse 16, where He says, keep the commandments, or verse 17, where He says, "If thou wilt enter into life, do what? Keep the commandments." All through the Old Testament, law, law, law. And even Peter, look in Acts chapter 10, look at his attitude. In Acts chapter 10, look if you will in verse 35. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. The Bible says, "But in every nation, he that feareth Him, feareth who? God, and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him." Doesn't that match Deuteronomy 6, verse 24? Fear God and work righteousness. Well, look, if you will, in Romans 11. In Romans chapter 11, I want to start in verse 6. Romans 11, verse 6. The Bible says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of what?" Then that tells me that somewhere before grace came in with the Apostle Paul... Before grace came in with the Apostle Paul, then it must have been of what? Works. So prior to this period, there's works involved with your salvation. But when you get to the dispensation of grace, no more works. Look what it says, verse 6. "And if by grace, then it is no more of what? Otherwise, grace is no more grace." Why? If it's about you and about your Christian walk and about that, then it is not about grace, is it? "For by the grace of God, you're saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen? He says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace... is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Incredible, isn't it? When you talk about the grace of God, you're talking about the absence of works. You're talking about the absence of self. You're talking about the gift of God. You're not talking about that which you're humanly doing to please God. You're talking about what Jesus Christ did for you that you humanly couldn't do for yourself. Amen? Amen. The grace of God. Folks, listen, the grace of God is a gift. The wages of sin is what? death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God's giving you the grace of God. You don't deserve it. I mean, there's not a place even in the Old Testament that Gentiles like you were promised anything other than a blessing. You weren't promised eternal life. You weren't promised the blood of Christ. That was all promised to Israel and to the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant and all those covenants made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and David. Well, your only hope was Israel. And all of a sudden, God reaches down through the Apostle Paul and delivers unto you the dispensation of the grace of God. He dispenses out the word dispensation. Jim would know a little bit about this. The word dispensation comes from the same kind of word that on base they have dispensaries. And what do the dispensaries do? They dispense out medicine, don't they? So God is dispensing out the grace of God. Well, folks, listen, the grace of God is absolutely in contrast to the laws of God. Y'all understand? Y'all understand? I mean, the realization is that it's either by law or it's by grace. But it's not by law and grace at the same time. The grace of God is different than the law of God. I want you to see a couple things about the grace of God. Look, if you will, and there's so many great passages, but go to Ephesians chapter 2 where I was quoting, and let's look at a couple of these passages. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Man, grace is the absence of works. Grace is the unmerited favor. You in this room did not deserve the blessings of God, and yet God, if you'll think about it, sent His lovely Son, His beloved Son, come down to this filthy world of fallen state and offered His Son as a sacrifice for you. Can you tell me how you deserved that? I mean, I can see how God promised it to Israel, couldn't you? But how about you in this room that have not done anything worth this kind of gift? You've not performed anything so great that He should have done it for you. Why, the only thing you've done is you've cursed and you've been angry at God, and God, and all that while you were sinners, Christ died for you. Let me tell you, the grace of God is different than the law. Say, well, is there only grace in this portion of the Bible? And I would encourage you that that's true. After this, there's going to be a catching out. Some people call it the rapture, but rapture is not in the Bible. It's a catching out. And then there is going to be 7 years, and the Lord is going to return, and then He's going to set up 1,000 years. And during this period of time, God will not be dispensing out grace anymore. God is going to be dispensing out wrath and judgment. And judgment will be upon Israel and upon His people. Why, these people will be back under the law right here. So you have law over here, and you have law over here, and in the middle, a big parentheses, that is grace. That ought to stand in your Bible and jump out of you when you start to read the passages. For by grace are you saved through faith. Why, it wasn't by grace through faith over here, amen? I mean, it was faith plus works. They had to believe things, but bless God, if they didn't do the works, they weren't going to be acceptable. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, He says, take up your cross and follow Me. And He says, he that will not die for My sake shall lose his life, and he that loses his life for My sake shall what? Hey, listen, they have to be ready to die. If they're not willing to die, they will not get it. But you don't have to die. You don't have to do anything. In fact, you don't even have to quit sinning. God will save you based upon your belief in the faith of Christ.
Amen.
Why is it that when you talk about grace, people start saying, well, what you're telling me in the age of grace is you just got a license to sin? Well, Paul had that same problem. I'm telling you, it's by grace. You don't deserve it. It's by grace and the fact that God sent His only begotten Son. You're so pious sometimes when you think about yourself. You know what you consider that you think you're worthy for Him to die for? What makes me acceptable is the grace of God. But there are some people that go around saying, preacher, you just talk about this grace way too much. You're wanting liberty to do what you want. Well, look what he says in Romans chapter 3. Verse 7, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather, as we have been slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come whose damnation is what? Why, if God gets the glory for us sinners, why don't we just go out and sin then? You don't get it. You sin because you want to sin. No one's told you not to sin. But you know what's so funny about all that? Is that in grace we're holy and we're righteous and we're accepted and we're complete and we're justified and we're sanctified all by the gift of Christ.
Amen.
And that's grace. And I think you ought to live your life the best you can. But I find myself answering the same thing that Paul answered in Romans chapter 7. Look in Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh... This is 25 years after he was saved. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good things. For to will is present with me. Isn't the will of doing God's will present with you that are saved? But look what he says. But how to perform that which is good, I find what? You know, there's some of you that are listening to my voice that says, oh, I can find it. Isn't that amazing? You're better than the Apostle Paul. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of like for 1,500 years, Israel couldn't keep the law, but you think you can keep the law. For 25 years, Paul couldn't find the right thing to do. In fact, look what he says in the passage. He says, verse 19, for the good that I would, I do some of the time. I do what? I do not? Yes, that's what the Bible says. Listen, don't you dare believe what I say alone. You check it out by this Bible. You believe what you're reading in this Bible. He said he couldn't find that. He said the will was present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I what?
Find
not. I find not. He says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I what? Folks, it is the grace of God. If you can ever get to the point where you think you can control your flesh, let me tell you what, then you didn't need Christ to die. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Watch these. Write these passages down. Consider the things that are written in your King James Bible. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. And I know that as you hear these tapes and as you sit in the audience here, and you may for the first time start to say, you know what, this doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard out of the Bible. And you know why? Most people aren't preaching the grace of God. They're preaching the law of God. And they're trying to bring condemnation and guilt upon you. And I'm trying to release it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. For I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, comes by the law, then Christ died in what? If you could have kept the law, then you didn't need Jesus to die. Amen? But we know that Christ came and died for all. Then we're all what? Dead. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Well, then I needed him to die for me. Don't you understand? It had to be by the grace of God. For if it had not been by the grace of God, I'd have had no hope. Why, if it had been by the law, I'd have found myself guilty before God and worthy of damnation. I wouldn't have been able. But God took the law and my sin out of the way, and he replaced it with grace and his blood and acceptance and holiness and righteousness and completeness.
Amen.
That's what he completed it with. It always amazes me, and I'm going to go up to the board. You watch this. We're in Adam. And as we go to Adam, there's Adam. And in Adam, all died. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. You're not acceptable. In Adam, you're incomplete. In Adam, all have sinned. By one man, sin entered into the world. In Adam, you're condemned. But then the Lord said there has to be a better way. And so he made a new place. And we're going to call this Christ. And the day you get saved, you leave Adam and you become one with Christ. Are you listening to me? You become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Christ, you're complete. You're holy. You're righteous. You're accepted. You're justified. On and on. Everything you have in Christ. And so once you get in Christ, people say, well, now since I'm in Christ and I'm holy and I'm righteous and I'm accepted and all this grace is pouring out of me, you know what? I think I'm going to go back and start working on Adam a little bit. Well, how often is Adam going to be accepted to God?
Never.
Never. Listen to me. God is not going to accept you in Adam. God has taken the body of the sins of the flesh and crucified it on the cross of Christ, and he made his son to be sin for you. He took Adam and what you were in Adam and died for that at the cross. But what he will accept and what he will hold to your account is the moment that you forsook what you were in Adam and accepted what you were made in Christ. And that whole thing is just amazing when you start to think about the truth of this Bible. Everybody, all the religion says, now since you've got Christ, what you need to do is go and start fixing up Adam and making him acceptable to God. Well, Adam has never been acceptable to God. You had to put on something that was new. Amen?
Amen.
And so Christ makes you a new body called the body of Christ. And he places the believers, you that have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, into the body as it has pleased him, the Bible says. And in that body, you are now made holy, righteous, acceptable, complete. And yet somehow in your Christian thing say, well, now I need to really shape up my life since he's done all this for me. You know what you need to do? Is you need to relax in what he's done for you.
Amen.
You say, well, how is that? Look in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, look if you will in verse 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. So if you're working for it, is it a reckoning of grace? No, it's dead, isn't it? Verse 5. But to him that worketh what? Worketh not. You know what? It's kind of like those that go back. If you go back and try to fix Adam up, are you working?
Yes.
It's to him that worketh what? That's hard to do. You know why? Because religion for years has got you on the treadmill of good works, trying to work your way into heaven by doing all these good things, going to church, paying money, and doing all these things, and they haven't preached to you the truth of the Word of God. Rightly divided. Pretty weird, isn't it? He says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Now watch, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without what? God is imputing righteousness to me. That's the grace of God. That's not living under sin or living in... I'm living in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me. I'm living in the completeness and the acceptance that God has made for me. That is the grace of God. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Say, well, you're telling me to go out and sin. No, some slanderously say that I say that. But I tell you that you ought to get in the Bible and you ought to try to do the best you can at doing what the doctrine is in Romans through Philemon for you. Are you going to fail? I'll guarantee it, you're going to fail. But what makes you accepted is not your failures or your successes. What makes you acceptable under grace is God's shed blood. That's what makes you acceptable. I mean... listen to this. Verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are what? My sins have been covered by the blood of Christ. What is it that I can do? And you say, well, you need to behave your flesh after the fact you're saved. Well, folks, that's not grace. Grace is liberty. Look in Romans chapter 6. Say, how can this all be put together? Well, I hope to sum it up in Romans chapter 6 how it all works. Folks, you're under the grace of God. You're not under the law. You're not dealing with sin. If those are the issues that you are dealing with, you're dealing in the wrong area. Those have already been dealt for you. Christ took care of those 2,000 years ago. Look in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer?
God forbid.
God forbid. But how is that the answer? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? Hey, if you've already died, can you still be a sinner?
Dead man can't sin.
A dead man can't sin. Hold it. Can a dead man sin?
No.
No. So how is it that you're dead? Watch. Know ye not? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus? How many of you are saved here?
Amen.
You were baptized into Christ, right? Then you partook of Christ's what?
Death.
His baptism into death. Look at it. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Under the law?
By grace.
By grace. Verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, were you?
Amen.
We shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this. Knowing what? that our old man is crucified. That is, he took Adam, are you listening to me? And he took Adam and placed Adam on the what?
Cross.
He took what you were in Adam and placed it upon the cross. Did he die?
Amen.
Was he buried?
Amen.
Did he resurrect?
Amen.
Man, bless God, Adam is gone. Our old man has been crucified. You say, well, it doesn't feel like it. Doesn't matter. You walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says you are dead. Hey, listen. You are dead. Look at verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from what?
Sin.
Have you died?
Yes.
Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Bless God, the reason that Barry Hampton is acceptable to God the Father is that Christ died for my sins. It is not that I've gotten back in Adam and trimmed him up and cleaned him up and done all those kind of things. It's that Adam died on that cross, or old man was made sin upon him. Look, verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also what?
Live with him.
Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. How do you reckon it to be?
Count it to be.
You count it to be by faith. You reckon it. Hey, I don't feel dead, but I reckon I am if he died in my place. Amen. I don't feel like I've been buried, but bless God, the Bible says I am. Then I believe that. Say, well, you need to straighten out that flesh. I can't. I'm already dead. She said, well, straighten it out. Well, I can't. I've already been buried. I don't know how to straighten it out. Say, well, you know, the problem with you is you need to straighten out your... Well, I've been even resurrected. Seated at the right hand of God. Are you listening to me? I have been made to sit together with Christ at God's right hand. I cannot change my state. What is my state? My state is I'm holy and righteous and acceptable. And yet, I still walk around in the robe of flesh, don't I? So how can that be? The Bible says an operation made without hands and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. Folks, listen, Colossians is very clear. You know what? If you live in the age of grace, it isn't about your works, your walk, your actions. It's about the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ and His gift of grace and the righteousness in which He has provided for you. Oh, man, I want people to see this so bad. My folks, it's not about you getting acceptable. If you feel like there's something that's offensive in you, then straighten that out in your life. But that straightening it out didn't make you more holy. That straightening out didn't make you more acceptable. That straightening out didn't... You know what? The only thing I can see that you've straightened that thing out is thinking that you might be better than someone else. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, I want you to read with me in verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of what? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. The idea today that once you become a Christian, that as you start to walk your Christian life and you start to go out here and you've gotten saved here and you start to live your life, that what you've got to do is get back under the law and improve yourself. I mean, that's the concept given to people today all over. Amen? And the idea is straighten your life out. I'm not against that. I think there's a real importance for morality. But I think what people do is they switch morality for spirituality. You all understand what I'm saying? That they think being moral is being spiritual. And I don't believe that. I believe that the spirituality comes from that which is given to you. And you say, well, what is it that would restrain a man? Well, I want you to get a picture in your mind, if you will, that this box represents being in Christ. Everybody that has trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, everybody that has gone out and put themselves behind, trusted the work of what Jesus Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago, is in here. And they are what they call accepted. And accepted is that God has brought you that were outside and made him acceptable. I want you to look at this. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to read with me in verse 4 first. But then I want you to get on down in the passage with me. Watch this. Verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Did God choose the believers before the foundation of the world?
Yes.
Yes, He did. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Well, bless God, what makes me holy and without blame before Him in love is the fact that He went to that cross 2,000 years ago and died for my sins. He put my sins on Himself. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And the idea in the passage is that you're holy and without blame. Come on down. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the what? Beloved. You see that? We're accepted in the Beloved. We are not accepted in our own works. We're not accepted in the things that we do to bring about a condition with the Lord that our works are bringing us before Him. The idea in the passage is we're accepted only in the what?
Beloved.
The Beloved. And so as we go up here and we're accepted, then there's a thing called approved. And approved is different than accepted. What made you accepted before God?
The cross
did. But what about being approved? People say, well, what do you do after you get saved? What's the point after you get saved? What do you do then?
Study.
And the answer is start to do some of the things God Almighty has called you to do. You all understand? The things in Romans through Philemon are the things that you will be approved. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then I know that you have to study to show thyself what? Approved. Do you see that? Approved. Now, everybody that is saved is accepted. Why are they accepted? Because of the cross, isn't it? So how are you approved? Well, you have to know the will of God. You have to know what is it that God wants you to do. I know it's not the will of God for you to follow His earthly ministry. I know it's not the will of God for you to be baptized. I know it's the will of God for you to do nothing for your salvation. So what is it that you do for your Christian walk? I mean, that's really what people want to know. They're always saying, well, if I believe this grace stuff, you know, if I listen to this grace stuff, I'm just going to go out and commit adultery. And I tell you, that's not true. If you know this grace stuff, it doesn't make you want to run out and commit adultery, does it? If someone gives you a gift like that, makes you want to go sin against them? Is that the deal? I don't understand that. I mean, you know, the whole thing is that look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this may answer it a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. It says in the Bible, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all what?
Dead.
The idea is people always out there trying to tell you to clean up your life, straighten it up, change it, add your behavior, don't cuss, don't smoke, don't drink, on and on. Amen? Well, folks, those things are all good things to do. Don't smoke. Don't drink. All those things are fine things to do. The problem is that the realization is that in 2 Corinthians 5, the thing that ought to stop us from doing some of the things we do is because of verse 14, the love of Christ constrains us. How would we know that? Well, we study to show ourselves approved. I mean, the idea is to learn the will of God and to be able to know it. Look in Romans chapter 12. Look what he says here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that?
Study.
Like 2 Timothy 2:15. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The realization is that as you start to go through here, there's a lot of things that you ought to do if you're a Christian. Grace doesn't give you a license to go out and sin. Grace gives you a ticket to be accepted in the Beloved. The people that say those kind of things, the Bible says that they don't have it. The people that go around tell you that, well, if I believed what you believed, I'd go out and sin, they're lost as a ball in high weeds. Look at it. In Romans chapter 3. I mean, I definitely believe that you ought to have something in your Christian life that is worthy of approving, being approved of the Lord. In Romans chapter 3, verse 8. And not rather as we... Now watch this, as we've been slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is what? Yes. Why, if it's grace, let's just get out there and show them it's grace. Let's go out there and show them we can smoke pot. Let's go out and show them that we can drink. I mean, if we're saved by grace, then we'll say, look, we can do these things because it's grace. And the Bible says those people who say those kind of things, whose damnation is just, they haven't got it. They haven't got the picture. They haven't got the focus of what... Hey, listen, just because a man went out and died for you so it gives you eternal life, makes you want to go out and sin? Makes you want... Listen, the fact is I can't sin. Why? Sin is transgression of the law. 1 John, amen? He's taken the law and nailed it out of the... But listen, I can walk. Not expediently. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look, if you will, in verse 12. Listen to the Bible. Listen to the Word of God. This is so important. In 1 Corinthians 6, look in verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not what? Expedient. You see that? Are all things lawful unto you?
Yes.
Will anything, listen to me, will anything change you being accepted in the Beloved? The Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? You're sealed and accepted because of what Christ did for you. But your approval, everything you do, is not expedient to bring about the results that you want in Christ. If I went out and was smoking a cigarette up here and drinking a beer, you may not listen to me. But the realization is whether I did that or not, I'm still accepted in the Father. Or to the Father by the Son. I'm accepted in the Son. Amen? You all understand that? If I sat up here in the pulpit and smoke and drink, God still would have to accept me. Why?
Because
I'm in Christ and I'm sealed under the day. He gave me the gift of what? Eternal life. But that doesn't mean that I'll be approved. You all understand? Say, what is the point of being approved? Well, let me tell you what, when you start to think about the things that he's going to do, look back in 1 Corinthians 3, just back up a page or so. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Well, let's start in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God that is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereupon. But and by the way, just to comment on that, who laid the foundation for the body of Christ? Peter or the 12? It's Paul, isn't it? That's another way you know, because listen, Paul tells you not to build on another man's foundation, and I guarantee you that foundation would have to do with the kingdom message. Look what he says. According, verse 10 again, according to the grace of God that is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work, not works, work. Think about that. People always talking about the good works. Look what it says here. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So it's going to throw all that you've done, the work you've done for Christ, and it's going to throw it into the fire. And some will burn up, and hopefully some will be left. So what's the big deal? I'm in heaven. I've slid into heaven on the skirt of grace. I'm free. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Well, won't it be ashamed if when it comes time to be judged, I mean, I don't know what you think you're working for the rewards for. Most of you might think that you're working for the reward. Are you listening to me? You might be thinking that you're working for the reward so you could have some jewels and crowns put on your head. But I'd commit a thought to your mind that maybe what's really going on in the passage is that because of the work you've done, the Lord will give you some crowns, and you can take those crowns off and lay them down on the Lord Jesus Christ's head and say, Lord, I don't deserve these crowns. He said, but I'm giving them to you. You'll be able to say, Lord, I don't want these crowns. What I want you to do is wear these crowns, because whatever I did it for your sake. The work that I did for your sake, that you could get the glory and honor. And some of you might be thinking, I want the glory and honor. I want the crowns. Well, praise God. Take them. He'd let you have them. But if you could think of what you could do, say, Lord, I don't deserve these crowns. You deserve them. Humble yourself before Almighty God. Why, folks, listen, God Almighty is excited. He's made you accepted in the Beloved. But He hadn't given you approvalship, has He? That you have to earn on your own. You have to study. Why would you study? To rightly divide the Word. Why would you rightly divide the Word? So that you could have the will of God. To know what the will of God is. Is it the will of God, as in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, not to have any money in the bank? Or is it the will of God, as Paul said, your apostle, says to lay up money for your children? Well, how can you do... Can you do both? That's an impossibility. How do you do this? Well, to be approved of God, you have to study to show yourself approved. You have to study. You have to start to realize. Because, listen, there are a lot of things that Paul tells you as a believer to do. Amen? I mean, look back in Romans chapter 12. Look at this. So what is there for me to do? Well, we just read in Romans chapter 12, but I want to start in verse 4. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same what? Boy, everybody acts like everybody's got the same office. Look at the offices. Having then gifts differing according... verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on the ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. These are things that he's telling you that you ought to study so that you can get this. Why? Look in Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what?
Reasonable
service. Then I know that the realization is there are some things for you to do. Well, you're not supposed to sit around after you got grace and just twirl the hand. I've watched people as they start to learn about grace, and when they were in a religious system, they would dump the money in the plate. They would. The plate came by, it might be a $5 bill, but they do that. When they finally hear of grace and they finally get the truth, guess what they do? They stop. I don't have to do anything. Well, that's not true. You don't have to do anything to be accepted in the Beloved. Amen? You don't have to do anything. You're accepted because you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But bless God, to be approved, there are things for you to do. Tells you the husbands to love their wives even as Christ also loved the what?
Church.
Tells the wife to reverence her husband. I mean, it gets almost silly to say, well, you believe grace, there's nothing to do. You're right. There's nothing for you to do to be accepted. But there's a lot for you to do to be approved. There are a lot of people out there that are saved, sitting on their hands, they haven't given any. I know people, listen to me, I know people that get Bible tapes and have gotten them for years. Are you listening to me? Realizing those things cost $2 a piece. And have never given a dime to those ministries. Isn't that a shame? Abusers of grace. Why, grace isn't to be abused. What, are you so sorry you can't pay for the tapes? What, are you sorry? I mean, people say, grace believers, grace believers. Listen, let me tell you what. Grace is the greatest thing that ever happened to this earth. Grace offered His Son. Grace allowed His Son to be beat, brutally put on a cross. Grace brought you eternal life. Abusers of grace. Why would you abuse the grace of God? I don't know anybody who really believes the grace message that would be abusers. Get off the wall a little bit. Or stop taking the tapes. Amen? Say, well, they're free. It's grace. It's free. Let me tell you, even grace wasn't free. Say, yeah, it was. No, it was not. Grace cost God His only beloved Son. He had to sit there and endure the beating of His Son. He sat there and, are you listening to me? And watched His Son while humans stripped Him absolutely naked. People yanked on His beard. Whipped Him. And God the Father had to resist because He could not stop that thing because He was dying for Terry and Larry and the rest of you that are watching. And then we say, well, it's grace. Let's just have a great time. Well, praise God, we ought to have a great time. Aren't all things lawful unto us? But not all things are expedient. So what is it that you ought to do once you get saved? Bless God, you ought to get in the book and find out what is the will of God for you. Amen? You ought to find out what it is that your ministry is. Say, I don't know what my ministry is. Well, you ought to figure it out. Amen? You ought to figure it out. You ought to think about it just a little bit. So I'm not sure. Well, how will you find out? Well, go to your pastor. No. Go to one of the deacons. No. Where do you find out the ministry that you've got? I would introduce an idea to you that if you want to know what your ministry is, you ought to get in the King James Bible and study Romans through Philemon out and find out what it is that you need to be doing as your ministry. I'd be embarrassed if I was taking tapes and wasn't paying for it. Well, who do you expect to pay for that? Amen? You say, well, I want to come and sit and let someone else pay for the building and the work. That's grace, isn't it? Just do whatever you want. Go out and have fun. The realization is, grace, your acceptance is absolutely free. He's given you the gift. Look in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, look if you will in verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Hey, if you go over here and you're accepted, guess what? You've been given the gift of what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. You're not going to lose it. So I was talking to some lady the other day and she said, well, you're telling me I can go out and do anything and still... Amen! You could. You know why? Because what made you accepted is God Almighty offered His Son up for you. You all understand? You're accepted. What did He give you? The gift. What was the gift? Eternal life. Well, if it isn't eternal, are you listening to me? If it's not eternal, then He only gave you partial life. Amen? But the passage says, if you believe your Bible, that the gift of God is eternal life. Well, folks, if you can lose that, then it wasn't eternal. Amen? The grace of God extends past your flesh, past your sin, past your... Listen, God has made you accepted in the Beloved. That's grace. And you know what? I recommend that you find out what your ministry is. And do it because you have such a gift. Have you ever had someone do you a really great favor? And you felt like, man, I just want to make that guy feel special. Well, so much more the Lord. Amen. So what is it that you don't want to serve Him? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should what?
Boast.
God Almighty provided you through grace. But I do believe there are things that you ought to be doing as a Christian. And for me to tell you which office you have is impossible. Do you all realize that? Whether it's giving or whatever that is. Whether it's ministering to people, or whether it's leading, or whether it's whatever it is in Romans chapter 12, you ought to get on with doing it. And there's other ministries. I mean, there's certainly a ministry for a husband and wife. Amen. And there's a ministry for the children. Amen. So there's a lot to do in grace. But you know what? God will never hold you and say, you've got to do this. He's going to let you do it because you loved Him. He's not going to force you. And you know what? You can abuse grace. And you're still going to be what? But you won't be approved. And the difference is big. It's vast. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're approved by studying the Word of God, rightly divided. and knowing and finding out the will of God. Folks, listen, it's not he's not going to approve you if you're over there in 1 John that he wrote to Israel. Amen? He's not going to approve you. If you're following James and all those, is he going to approve you when he told you to follow Paul? Folks, listen, there's a lot more to grace than meets the eye. In there? It's amazing. I hope you enjoyed it this morning. I hope it was a blessing to you. I hope you realize the difference between being accepted and being approved, the abusers of grace. Thank you for watching.